Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's parable in Matthew chapter 25, especially these words, "And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Now, in the gospel according to Matthew, there are basically four different types of parables. You have the parables about Jesus' love and how he acts in that love, and you can see that with like the Good Shepherd or the Good Samaritan. There are other parables about how we respond to that love in faithfulness and why we do. That would be like the persistent widow. There are other parables that talk about the kingdom that God has created when Jesus came to the earth. And that would be like the parable of the mustard seed. Now, all of these are wonderful parables, and they build our faith, and they're uplifting. And then we have a parable like today, which is number four. And it doesn't seem very uplifting. It seems kind of intimidating and threatening. It certainly is a warning. And so we have to look at this parable and try to understand what Jesus is saying to us here today. First of all, it's a parable. It's not an allegory. If it was an allegory, you know, you can just take everything and everything symbolizes something else on this earth or in our lives. This is a parable. That means it has one basic point that Jesus is trying to make to his disciples. Now, when we look at the context, the cultural context of this, the bridesmaids would have waited for the groom to come home at the groom's house. And oftentimes he was delayed because there are different interactions between the families about dowry money and when things are going to be done and how things should be done. And I mean, I've never had a wedding that started on time, right? So it's kind of the same thing. But yet, when he finally did come into town, then the bridesmaids were supposed to go out and greet him in the town, hopefully in the beginning as he's coming in. And then if it's daytime, just lead him to the house, to his house. Or if it's nighttime, lead him with these lamps lit. And then you'd have the wedding, and then you have the wedding party. Now, two things happen. First of all, the bridegroom is delayed. And secondly, the bridesmaids all fall asleep. Now, I think with this delay part in this text, Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples, I'm not coming back anytime soon after I ascend into heaven. And it's been 2,000 years, so Jesus certainly got that one right, okay? It's been a while. And yet, as they're waiting, they fall asleep. Now, this is where we have a danger of allegorizing this and saying, okay, the bridesmaids are obviously the church, and falling asleep is what we're not supposed to do. And that's what the warning is all about. That certainly is the case in a lot of parables where it says stay awake, but that's not the case in this one. In this case, there's nothing wrong with falling asleep because all 10 of them are doing it, right? It's not just the foolish ones, it's the wise one. If there was something wrong with it, it would say the foolish ones fell asleep and the wise ones stayed awake. They all fell asleep. Which is natural. During the daytime, as they're waiting for the groom to show up, they don't fall asleep. It's daytime. They got things to do. But, you know, eventually you have to sleep. So if that's not what he's talking about when he's talking being watchful, what is Jesus referring to? When I was working during my years in the seminary, I would work in Iowa or Minnesota. And when I finally planned on going back to the seminary the next year in the fall, I'd leave Minnesota at the same time. I'd leave at 10 o'clock at night because that would get me to the seminary at 8 o'clock in the morning, right when everything opened. And so I didn't have to wait in lines to get my room assignment or get my P.O. box or pay my first installment and all that stuff. And now to prepare for that, okay, what I did was I made sure I packed in the morning and then I double-checked it and triple-checked it. And then I packed all that stuff into my car and then I laid out all my clothes. And I had set my alarm clock for 9:30, and I went to sleep. And when the alarm went off, I woke up. All I had to do was shave, brush my teeth, take a shower, put my clothes on, I'm in the car, and away I go. Now, to be watchful would not have been staying up the entire time waiting for 10 o'clock and then driving all night to St. Louis. I would probably fall asleep as I was driving. That's not very safe. So being watchful is really being prepared. I was fully prepared when the alarm clock went off so that I was ready to go and I didn't forget anything and I got there on time. That's what Jesus is talking about here, being prepared. Now, what does the preparation mean for these bridesmaids? It has to do with the oil and the lamps. Now, these are not ordinary lamps. If you go look at the lamps from, you know, the Holy Land 2,000 years ago, they'll usually show you a little clay lamp that has a little wick in it. That's the type of lamp that you would keep lit in your house at night. This is not that type of lamp. This lamp is a big lamp. It is a huge bowl that would hold oil, and it would have a rag hanging out of it, and you would have a pole holding it up to illuminate further. This is the type of lamp that the soldiers brought with them when they arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. A little lamp wouldn't have helped much. They needed more light. And a big lamp like this is something you wouldn't light right away. You certainly wouldn't keep it full of oil because it's going to be slopping all over the place. And you also would not have it lit in your house. There's a story, it's one of my favorite stories from the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul is preaching, and he doesn't preach a 12-minute sermon. Okay, he just goes on and on and on until this guy called this young man named Eutychus is sleeping in the window, and he falls asleep, and he falls out the window, breaks his neck, and dies. And then Paul, you know, goes downstairs and brings him back to life. Now, you think at that point Paul would have slapped an amen on the sermon and called it a day, but no. He probably said, now don't fall asleep in the window next time. Where was I? And he just keeps going on. But it wasn't just the fact that Paul was droning on and on that he fell asleep. It was because it said that they had several of these lamps, this type of lamp, lit in the house, in a large upper room. And if it made it hot in a large upper room, it would make it really hot here, so they wouldn't have it lit. In our text, this translation is very good because it makes it abundantly clear what happened. The wise one brought the lamps empty with the fuel. The foolish ones brought the lamps with no fuel. That's not the equivalent of, you know, just not paying attention to your gas gauge and running out of gas. This is the equivalent of planning a family trip, packing everything, making reservations, making sure you have the maps and know where you're going, get all the kids ready, get them in the car, and you turn it over, and oh, I forgot to buy gasoline. Nobody would do that. So when he's talking about foolish bridesmaids, they are really foolish. Now, it's what happens next that bothers us as Christians. All right? The alarm comes. The bridegroom is here. It's time to go meet him. And all of a sudden, they realize they don't have any oil. And they ask the wise ones, hey, can you give us some oil? And they go, no. Try to find someone who's selling it at midnight. I'm not sure who's selling oil at midnight back then, but they seem to have found somebody. And then the second thing that bothers us. And they finally get back to the wedding banquet, and they say, Lord, let us in. And the Lord, the groom, says, I have never known you. Now, this is a part where we are bothered as Christians because we oftentimes, me certainly, every time I read this, I read it the wrong way to start with. I read it backwards. I focus on the negative. My first thought is, okay, how do I make sure that I am prepared? How do I make sure that I have oil? I don't even know what the oil is. And how do I make sure that when Jesus sees me face to face, he doesn't say, I have never known you? That would be pretty bad. And those are all good questions because Jesus here is not just talking about the kingdom that he had brought to the earth during his ministry. It says on that day when this happens, the kingdom is like this. He's talking about the last day. And on the last day, there are no second chances. There is no sharing faith with someone at that point. It's over. But there is a more positive and actually more accurate way of reading this text. We should read this text and say, I am prepared, and you are. Not that we have prepared ourselves, But we have been made prepared by our Savior Jesus Christ. He prepared us for his coming by forgiving our sins, by caring for us, by writing God's name on our heart, and by giving us the faith to know these things. And with that faith, we are prepared in this way. When our Lord returns, our first thought is not going to be, boy, I sure hope I did enough. Or I hope he recognizes me. Our first thought is going to be, thank God, he's going to take me home. The second very accurate, positive way of looking at this is, on this last day, clearly from Jesus' perspective here, there are no second chances. The wise cannot give their oil to the foolish. But in case I'm mistaken, today is probably not the last day. It might, that, you know, someday someone's going to say that, and it's going to be the last day, okay? But maybe not. Today's probably not the last day. And you know what that means? That means we have plenty of oil. Nothing is stopping us from sharing it with people who do not have it. And Jesus encourages us to do that. It's called sharing our faith. It's called telling people who are foolish and don't know any better about a Savior who loves them, who died for them, who rose for them, who lives in their life today. So that on that last day, together with us, we can look up and see our Lord return and know that we know him, and even better, he knows us. In Jesus' name, amen.